thanks for spending some of your day with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mailer here, and to start the show, we're talking about bald eagle watching days, and a couple of guests for you today. Jennifer Lanzendorf is one of them. She's a board member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, and she serves as the chair of the Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days Organizing Committee. Jennifer, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Lou. It's great to be here.
Also with us, back once again, Jeb Barzin. Jeb is a wildlife biologist. He's worked at the International Crane Foundation, or did work there for almost 30 years. He's president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council and directs their eagle research. Jeb, thank you for joining in as well. Great to have you with us.
Well, you are welcome, and it's great to be here on our first day of winter, physically.
Yes. And winter will maybe come into play as we talk about this year's event. And, of course, we'll talk bald eagles. And as you listen to our two guests, I hope you'll join in with your questions. Tell us why you maybe never miss bald eagle watching days, or maybe have a question about eagles. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Jeb, let's start with you. How are the eagles doing in Wisconsin?
Well, eagles are doing very well for the most part in Wisconsin. In all the ways that we can try to measure their population, both in the breeding season as well as during the wintertime, their numbers seem to be increasing. And so that's a good success story, because that wasn't always the case. You know, in the 1970s, eagles were at their lowest numbers ever known. Increase since then has been a spectacular wildlife success story.
It sure has. I'm wondering, we had, up until the last few days, we've had a pretty mild, snowless winter across a lot of the state this year. Does that have any effect on the eagles?
Well, absolutely. It does, at least in terms of where eagles are. And that's one of the fascinating things about winter ecology of eagles. And, you know, so if you think about it, the first thing that influences where you're going to find eagles is, can they find food? You know, which is true for all humans, right? You know, we tend to be where you can find food. This year we have pretty good food amount, it seems, in the lower Wisconsin River. And because we've got lots of gulls that are feeding and eagles feeding, so there's generally a larger number of eagles that are going to concentrate in the area. But with the mild weather that you were referring to, Larry, those birds were spread out over 35 miles of river and adjoining uplands. But with the snow that we just got yesterday, all of a sudden, all those eagles are moved away from the uplands because it's covered by 8 inches of heavy snow. So deer carcasses and things like that that the eagles would feed on, they are no longer visible to the birds. And so the birds can't find them. They don't have a little flag saying, well, the deer is here under the snow. But the other thing is the weather's starting to get cooler. And so there's more ice on the river, and that lowers the food might be there, but if it's covered by ice, the eagles can't get to it. So now we have eagles that maybe even the same number of eagles in our winter area, but they're no longer in the upland areas, and now they're in a relatively small stretch of river from Ferry Bluff to the Prairie du Sac Dam, which is about a 15-mile stretch of river rather than 35-mile stretch of river. So we're going to see, I'm going to go out on a limb, we're going to see a lot of good eagles and at Eagle Days here on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was a long answer.
No, but it's a good one. Thank you so much. Jenny, let's turn to you. This year's Bald Eagle Watching Days will be held this Saturday and Sunday. Talk about, for those who aren't familiar with it, let's talk about what goes on. And then maybe for those who have been a number of times, what's kind of new this year?
Absolutely. We're really excited. I think we've got a great event scheduled this year. You know, and the things that we bring back every year, of course, on Saturday and Sunday, we'll have volunteers staffing the overlook in Prairie du Sac, which is along Water Street there. We've got a wonderful new overlook that's only a couple years old, that's been completely refurbished. And so we'll have volunteers there helping people to see the eagles and answer questions about eagles. Jeb will be out there. So you can certainly take advantage of his expertise out at the overlook. And then also at the River Arts Center, which is the beautiful auditorium that they have attached to the high school in Prairie du Sac. We run a several programs. So we're bringing back the Schlitz Audubon Nature Center. They have a wonderful raptor program that we bring back every year. And David Stokes is a children's educator and entertainer, and some other great activities. We have a filmed eagle release. We released some rehabilitated bald eagles through Reggie, the Raptor Education Group. And we filmed that, and we got some beautiful footage of those releases and some interviews with Marge Gibson, who is the director of that organization. And we're going to show that film, and we're going to have her in for a Q&A so people can ask her questions about rehabilitation and lead poisoning and some of the other threats to eagles and other birds and wildlife that she encounters.
So, and most of this is free, is it not?
It is all absolutely free to the public. For those presentations, we do hand out tickets. We do ask people to come in and grab a ticket for those, but those tickets are free, and it's really just so we can track our the number of people that we have coming in and make sure we're not overextending our capacity for the auditorium.
Yeah, for sure. And the auditorium is fairly good size. It'll hold a lot of people.
Oh yeah, it'll hold 450 some odd people. It's we generally have enough room for everyone. We're actually doing two programs with Schlitz Audubon. That tends to be a very popular one. So we got one in the morning, and we've got one later in the afternoon as well. So if people missed that first one, they can come in for the second one.
So maybe you could talk a bit about the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council and how the organization is involved in the eagle watching event.
So the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council is one of the co-hosts. And like I said, I'm the chair of that committee. But we do have other organizations that are our co-hosts. So the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce is one of those. And then also the Trip Museum right there in Prairie du Sac. That's right on there on Water Street. Very, very close to the overlook. And I would encourage people to stop in at the Trip Museum. They've got some programs as well. And they've got a wonderful bird collection.
You're going to see more than eagles if you go to the eagle watching days and you want to take part in some of these events, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There's, we try to encourage, you know, people to appreciate the area and conservation in general, and really all the wonderful things that we have in the Sauk Prairie area and the Lower Wisconsin Riverway.
And I should mention, in full disclosure, WPR is a sponsor of Bald Eagle Watching Day. So I did want to get that point in there. As
WPR is a great sponsor for us, yes. So, but then also the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce and the Department of Natural Resources is one of our co-hosts as well.
And Jeb, maybe you can talk a bit more about the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council itself and what it strives to do over the course of the years.
Well, the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council has been in existence since we formed from a previous organization called Eagle Valley Environmentalists, and we formed in 1988. And we're basically interested in keeping this special resource vibrant in our community, you know, with bald eagles wintering literally in our backyard. And we're interested in engaging people in that kind of overall conservation effort. And Bald Eagle Watching Days is a really nice example of what that kind of esoteric statement means in reality. Because as Jenny was saying, that, you know, we get, I don't know, 2,000 people who come, you know, through the day or the weekend to view Bald Eagle Watching Days. All the events that they participate in are free, at least in terms of seeing presentations and that sort of thing. I don't think the Kiwanis would be happy if I said that their pancake breakfast is free. But, you know, basically, you know, most of the events are free and they're family friendly. But there is a cost to those events. Somebody's got to pay for Schlitz Audubon to come over and do this, or for the videographer who films Marge's release, and you know, renting the RAC and all those sorts of things. And that's the special part of this story, is that that is paid for by the business communities in Sauk Prairie. You know, so our cost of $7,000 to $8,000 a year to put on Bald Eagle Watching Days is paid for by our local community and by organizations like Wisconsin Public Radio and that sort of thing. But that that community contribution to this is a way of the community saying, we value eagles, and we value, but we also need to live. And so it's a way of saying, you know, conservation can be sustainable when what we do benefits both the resource, eagles in this case, and our local communities. And, you know, that's how you get sustainable conservation anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Jeff Barzin, president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. Jeff directs their eagle research. Jennifer Lanzendorth, a board member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council and serves as chair of the Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days organizing committee. Questions for them about the event itself, or maybe you just have a question about eagles, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Tyler Ditter, our engineer today, Jill Nadeau, our producer, and you, my friend, are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking about eagles and eagle watching days today with Jeb Barzin, president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, Jennifer Lanzendorth, chair of the Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days Organizing Committee. Great to have them with us. And again, questions for them, give a call at 800-642-1234, or you could email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. Jeb, have you got some eagle watching tips for us today?
Well, the special tips for today is the birds are going to be located upriver, meaning that they're going to be most easily visible from the parking lot at the Prairie du Sac Dam, or the Veterans of Foreign Wars Park, called the VFW Park in Prairie du Sac, or at the Eagle Overlook. Those are going to be really good viewing areas because there are perching areas for the birds that are alongside the river. There's a lot of food that's abundant there. And the more that people stay in their cars, at least at the dam, or to some extent the VFW, the more birds will be fairly close by. You know, as birds get out, the birds will tend to be more distant. So the more people stay in their cars, the better that will be. But the other tip is it's going to be windy and 19 degrees Fahrenheit on Saturday, Bald Eagle Watching Days. And so dressing appropriately certainly helps your ability to see eagles, because you're not worrying about your fingers freezing.
And if you got a pair of binoculars, probably would be well, is it a requirement or just something good to have?
Well, I'm an ornithologist, so binoculars are a requirement for going to bed at night. Eagles, when you're seeing them from the overlook, we have spotting scopes that will be trained on birds so that you can show up and see them. And they're relatively close, so you can see and appreciate what these birds are doing with your naked eyes. But we do have, you know, viewing tools that you can use at the overlook. And there's a spotting scope at the VFW landing as well. So don't worry if you don't have binoculars. You'll still be able to get good views of eagles.
So I lost my train of thought for a second. The the best advice I'm hearing is stay in your car if you can to avoid startling the eagles. Are they startleable? That's a word I just made up.
I like it. You know, eagles, you know, sensing disturbance for eagles is a really challenging thing because the eagles do not respond to us all the time by immediately moving. But what they'll often do is if they're uncomfortable with you, say, being out of your vehicle at the dam, they will maybe wait for a minute or two and then eventually fly away. But then rather than coming back to the perch where they were at, they'll perch on the other side of the river. So it's not as easy of a sign of disturbance that you would see. So oftentimes people aren't aware that they're disturbing the birds, but it's kind of where you would likely find those birds with the presence of people outside their car versus not. And so it's often a very difficult thing to be able to understand what kind of impact that you're having on the birds.
The Fairy Bluff Eagle Council works, I know, to protect and maintain bald eagle habitat. Talk about some of the efforts in that area.
Where the needs exist, we try to focus on habitats that seem to be critical for eagles. So one is Fairy Bluff, for which we're named. And that is probably the only roost that's primarily owned and protected for, in part, bald eagles. And bald eagles will roost there at night, which means not a nest. But in the wintertime, eagles will aggregate together into large groups. And sometimes we'll have 50 or even 100 eagles that are in one roost and actually in a fairly small area because they'll perch a lot of them in the same tree and that sort of thing. And having that roost available is a really critical thing for being able to have the birds sleeping in a place where we think it's a little bit warmer at night or at least out of the wind, but yet close to their feeding areas. And Fairy Bluff and that upper part of the river is used by eagles feeding all year round. And so we've helped with that, but we've worked on a number of other projects that deal with winter habitat that are important for eagles that concentrate here in the lower Wisconsin River.
And some parts of the Fairy Bluff, that natural area, are actually closed, probably to sort of not bother the eagles so much, I would guess.
Yeah. I'm really glad that you mentioned that, Larry, because the Fairy Bluff State Natural Area is closed to public entry from the boat landing, which is at the end of Fairy Bluff Road, up into the site. And we have a very big problem with people who continue to go into that area, even though it's closed from December 1 to March 31 each year. There's a big gate and a big sign that says, you know, closed for entry during this period of time. And yet somehow when people see that sign, somehow they read it as closed to everybody but me. and that but me part is the challenging part because it is closed and it's closed for a good reason. As soon as people go up to Cactus Bluff, the viewing area, even if there's no snow on the ground, the presence of people up there will tend to flush birds out of the nighttime roost, even if it's during the day, because they begin to gather there, you know, in the afternoon. And the birds will flush out of that roost and no longer use that roost for a day or a period of time. And so it is closed. And even though you know, people still seem to find a way to try and get around the gate and ignore those signs. And it is against the law. So if the conservation officer is out there and you're found there, you'll get a significant fine for doing that.
Willem in Colfax called, couldn't stay with us. He wanted to comment that he was 40 years old before he saw a bald eagle, and now he sees them everywhere. Now we almost take them for granted, and he wanted to say how lucky we are and what a success story eagle recovery has been, and maybe talk about that a bit, Jeb, the recovery and where we find eagles in the state now.
Well, Willem, I think, did a really nice job at talking about that wildlife success story. So in 1972, or 1973, which was the first year that the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources did a comprehensive survey of occupied eagle territories in the state of Wisconsin, we saw 108 eagle nests. And most of those eagle nests are concentrated in north central Wisconsin. In 2019, the last time that that type of survey was done, we counted 1,684. So almost, you know, 1,700 eagle nests. And in every, I believe, if I remember correctly, every county of Wisconsin. And in fact, some of our highest nesting densities of eagles are no longer in that north central Wisconsin bastion for eagle nests, but actually are in places like along the Mississippi River in southwestern Wisconsin. So that success story has brought new information, new understandings of eagles, and a burgeoning eagle population that's been spectacular to see.
Thinking about the, there's a pretty good sized eagle nest in McFarland area, not very far at all from Madison, and it's not uncommon. In fact, it's common to see eagles in a urban area like the Madison area.
I think, haven't you also said around Lake Monona there's an eagle nest? You know, so yeah, they'll nest in close proximity of people, and there's fascinating reasons for why that can be. But I'll try to keep my mouth shut and not talk too much about the things that are really cool about these birds.
Well, let's talk a bit about research, because you're sort of the director of the Eagle Research Program for the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, but let's talk maybe about what you've done and perhaps what other research may be going on relating to eagles.
Well, there's some of the most recent research that's been going on for eagles in our area come from work that's been done on the Mississippi River out of right near the confluence, just south of Prairie du Chien. In that work, they've captured eagles and put satellite transmitters on these birds, and they've actually captured both golden eagles as well as bald eagles. And they have found that the bald eagles that are wintering in the Mississippi near that junction of Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, they tend to breed, or at least travel to, if they're not breeding, far northern reaches of Canada. So they'll be going all the way up to the Arctic in Ontario, or the I can't remember the new name for the province that is near Ontario. I'm sorry, but I just can't. Nunavut. They're going up to Nunavut. Northern Manitoba, all over the place. Whereas our birds, what we found by putting radio transmitters on eagles that we've captured during the winter in the Sauk Prairie area, our eagles tend to be, quote, our eagles with quotation marks on them. our eagles tend to be breeding in northwest Wisconsin, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, northeastern Wisconsin, a little bit of northeastern Minnesota. So the eagles that are wintering here tend to be much more local than the eagles that are in the Mississippi River. And that's been fascinating research to really kind of compare, is that the Mississippi River is kind of the highway for most of the continent's population of bald eagles, whereas our winter area in the lower Wisconsin tends to be much more of a kind of a local area that eagles are using. And I find that very interesting.
Keith in Eagan, Minnesota emailed to ask why fishermen are allowed to walk around below the dam while the sign says, stay in your car.
Well, that's a good question. You know, it's they actually aren't really allowed to do that, but they do that. And, you know, working with people is, you know, you've got two ways of trying to do it. You have a law, and then, but if you have a law, you need strong enforcement. Or you work with people to present a shared value, and that takes a lot more kind of collaborative effort. So it's a little bit more of a fuzzy sort of response that you get and overall effort that you put in. And, you know, it's sort of a never-ending process. So it takes a while to get people to be comfortable with the fact that what they do may affect eagles, and the people who are fishing there say, well, I have a right to fish, and legally they do. So there's just a, it's a challenging thing to kind of put together how we work with eagles and what influences eagles in that area. And it's just always something that continues.
John wonders about the breeding system or the breeding for eagles. What is the typical, when does the breeding occur? When are the eaglets born and so forth?
People might be surprised that the first eggs that are laid in an eagle nest in Wisconsin, at least here in the southern part of Wisconsin, are late February. And so they're a very early nester as far as birds in our region go. The first nests for bald eagle nests in northern Wisconsin probably are a full month later. But basically, eagles will be nesting as soon as their food is becoming super abundant, which typically is in the springtime, early spring, where they can find dead fish after the ice comes off of various water bodies. And that probably drives some of the nesting phenology of eagles. But they'll nest as soon as they have the conditions where they think they'll be able to feed their young. Because after a 25-day incubation period, they need to be able to feed those growing eaglets, just like we need to feed our growing teenagers a whole lot of food. Because those eagles go from the size of an egg, which is, 4 inches, I guess, to the size of a full-grown eagle in about 12 weeks.
That's pretty rapid growth. You need a lot of food.
Yep. So, you know, food is the name of the game. It's an interesting odyssey. And sometimes, you know, eagles miss it, you know, and so they don't have a very good fledging rate in years where food isn't as abundant. Other years when food is more abundant, they might fledge 3 or 4 eaglets from a nest, and some years it's none or one.
And so that's occurring during the winter, essentially. And so the primary food source then would be, is it fish?
Well, our telemetry data from the eagles that we did, there's it's a combination of fish and carrion that they find out on in open field areas. And so about a third of the time they're feeding in open field areas, a third of the time they're feeding along the Wisconsin River, and then a third of the time they're kind of in their roosts, you know, which is typically along the Wisconsin River as well.
Give you a chance to join in. Two questions for our guest today, Jeb or Jennifer. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us. Email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Maybe turn back to Jennifer for a minute. Eagle Days has been going on for 38 years. How do you keep it fresh and relevant for the people who attend?
You know, that's a great question, Larry. This is we do host, it's Wisconsin's longest running eagle watching event, I believe. So we are in our 38th year. I haven't been here quite that long, but it's a great question. You know, I think we bring back some of those favorite programs like Schlitz that we've had kind of year after year because those are popular, but we do try and change things up and keep things fresh and adapt to what people want. And so new for this year, we have the River Arts Center has a brand new event space called the Eola Hall, which is allowing us to bring in some other like-minded organizations, some conservation organizations, the International Crane Foundation, who you mentioned is going to be there, the Natural Resource Foundation. So we'll have some of those folks in with tables where they can share their message and tell folks about their organizations. We're going to have a live turkey vulture in that space, which I think will be fun. We've also got some kids activities and some temporary tattoos for the kids. One of our large sponsors, Thermo Fisher Scientific, is hosting a booth that's going to teach people about the science of flight through creating paper airplanes. So that'll be a fun thing for folks to do and come and make some paper airplanes under the guidance of these scientists and learn about the science of flight. That way we'll have a whole runway set up for those. So I think, you know, having some of those interactive things that are going to be new for us this year is one way that we're trying to keep things fresh.
I'm going to have to try. I have to be an observer of that kids' airplane making, paper airplane making, because I was never any darn good at it, to be perfectly honest. Oh my gosh, Jim in La Crosse has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I just wanted to say I took a photo about a year ago. And there were 110 eagles in one spot in La Crosse. And I'm wondering if these are the eagles that travel up to Canada.
Ah. Jeb, do you know?
Well, it's hard to say if those exact eagles go up to Canada, but the probability is yes, indeed. There are eagles that will go up to Canada. Now, there are some eagles there who won't go so far and are likely to breed more locally. But the predominant proportion of the population are those that are wintering there and will go further north. And so, you know, and actually the La Crosse area has more eagles in their wintering area than we do here, say, in the lower Wisconsin. But the one thing I will say is that our eagles are a lot more visible because the river basin is smaller. And so we get to see these birds a little bit more up close. And in La Crosse, they tend to be further away. So they're both really fun ways of being introduced to the birds, but they are very different experiences.
Yeah, they sure are. I've been to both areas, of course. And if you really want to see them, let's say close up, you're going to be a whole lot better off by making it over to Eagle Watching Days this weekend, right?
Yes,
yep.
It is.
It's this weekend. You know, one of the things that keep Bald Eagle Watching Days fresh is the birds themselves. They're always doing different things. And last year, for example, for Bald Eagle Watching Weekend, we had a pair, not just one, but a pair of peregrine falcons that were perched very close to the overlook, and people got great looks at them with the spotting scopes that we had there. And I think one, if not both of them, were banded, and you could actually see the bands on the bird. So there's always something new, in part because the birds are always doing something that is surprising to us and that sort of thing. So that helps us keep Eagle Days fresh.
Jenny, are there volunteer opportunities during the event, or what talk about that a bit?
Yes, there are. We, you know, this is very much a volunteer driven organization and event, and we wouldn't be able to do what we do without the help of people that come and join us for Eagle Days and help with the organizing. If you go out to the Ferry Bluff website, which is ferrybluffeaglecouncil.org, we do have a volunteer sign-up sheet. I think we're pretty well set for volunteers this year, but there's plenty of opportunities to volunteer with Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. We do the roost counts that I think Jeb might have mentioned, and we do other opportunities throughout the year. But yeah, we would not be able to do what we do without the volunteers who come in and help us by ushering during the presentations, and those people that go out and volunteer and stand out in the cold and monitor the overlook with Jeb. And so yeah, I would very much encourage people to go out and And check out our website and look for those volunteer opportunities.
And again, for the event itself, I mean, you could go over, I guess, any time, but I mean, this is really the prime weekend for going over to Sauk Prairie. Are there hours of opening and so forth for each day?
Yes, there are. So all our presentations are going to be on Saturday at the River Arts Center, and we're going to open our doors at around 9:30 or so, and people will be able to get into the expo hall at that point. The first presentation is going to be at 10 a.m., and we'll have that area open until sometime after 4 o'clock.
So around, say, 9:30 or so to 4 o'clock, and that's on Saturday and Sunday?
That's on Saturday at the River Arts Center is when our presentations are. And then we will have folks at the Overlook on both Saturday and Sunday helping people to view the bald eagles there. And I wanted to mention, I did mention that we're asking people to pick up tickets for those presentations. Those are going to be available at the River Arts Center that morning. So you can't get them ahead of time. But if you show up at the River Arts Center, we do have a ticket booth there, and you just need to walk up and ask for a ticket for whichever show you want to go see, or all of them, and we'll give you a ticket and get you into one of our free programs.
So, in that, if I can just crib on to that, you are right, Larry, that the eagle watching is great throughout January and February, and even in December. And the Sauk Prairie community welcomes people to be watching eagles there. There's permanent spotting scopes up. The Overlook has got some information that people can benefit from. And the Sauk Prairie businesses appreciate your, use of their area and being able to feed you or provide you with gas or those sorts of things. And so they're more than happy to help. And that's what drives the, kind of the economy. And so it's a really nice pairing of conservation what people need in order to stay in business.
Yeah, there's some pretty good food in that you're going to find in that Sauk Prairie, that town in that area. I can speak from experience for that, for sure. Well, listen, it's been a lot of fun talking with both of you. I appreciate it. Jeb, I mean, have we been doing this every year of this event, or pretty
Not
much?
Not quite of the event. We've been doing it for about 35 years is all, so.
We're aging ourselves here, but it's always fun to have you. And Jennifer, always fun to have you come back as well. Thank you both so much for being with us today and talking about Eagle Days this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's kind of the big one because that's where all those indoor events are going to take place. And it is fun, and based on my own experience, to get out there, maybe get a little cold watching, and then you go and get inside where it's warmer and learn a whole lot more about eagles and some other birds as well. So, Jeb, Jennifer, thank you both so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Jeb Barzin, president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, and directs their eagle research program. Jennifer Lanzendorf, a board member of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. She serves as the chair of the Sauk Prairie Bald Eagle Watching Days Organizing Committee. Great to have them with us. And they'll probably be back, and we will probably talk with them again. I'm pretty sure of that. But coming up, we're going to talk about ice in a way. Ice, you need ice for some things. If you want to go ice skating, you got to have ice. And if you want to go ice fishing, you got to have ice as well. And fishing, we're not going to talk about skating, but we're going to talk about fishing next. Ice fishing, and a bit about ice fishing safety with our guest, Skip Sommerfeld. That next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network.